Well, tonight, part 12 of Walking in the Ways of the Lord, and the title is All of the Ways of the Lord Are Love. I've mentioned that several times throughout our series, but that specific title today, will, I'm going to jump back and do just a little quick review. You'll have to have your turbo kicked in, because I'm just going to mention some of the things we talked about points last week real quickly, and then jump right into today, because it's directly connected. Love describes all that God is, His very nature, and all of His ways. All of God's ways are love. Love is the root and the foundation, the entire reason for all that God has done, is doing, and ever will do. Love covers all of time and eternity. Love is the reason for all of creation that is in time and eternity. Love is the reason that Jesus was sent. Love is the reason for His entire life, death, burial, descent into hell, and His resurrection from the dead. Love is the reason that He ascended into heaven, where He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession continuously for us. Love is the reason for the coming of the Holy Spirit and His abiding in us. Love is the reason for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He is a very special love gift from the Father Himself. Love is the reason for the root, the foundation, and the source of all of the promises and commandments, all of the do's and don'ts. Love covers all of the covenants in the entire Bible. The Bible is a book of love, a love covenant. Love is the reason for the end times. Love is the reason for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. That's what we covered, all of those last week, so I don't want to cover them again. But all of those points are directly related to what we've been talking about today. God is love. When you know God, you know love Himself, the person. Love is not only an action word requiring action, but it is a person. All genuine love in action flows from the person, love, God Himself. We have three scriptures. You don't need to turn to these. I'm just going to mention them that are important from last week. 1 John 4:7 says, "For love is, springs from God." And then verse 8 says, "God is love." In 1 John 4:16, it says again, "God is love. And he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him." 1 John 4:17 then says, "As he is, so are we in this world." And we discussed the fact that if God is love and his word is, he is one with his word, then God and his word are love. God and his word are both love. And as he is, so are we in this world. We are born of love, therefore we are love. We may not be walking in love, we may not be walking the love walk, but as far as God is concerned, we are love. When Adam fell, he separated and died. He separated from God. That's what actual death is separation from God. So Adam died. He separated. He was no longer love. He was a child of the world, or a child of Satan. Satan was his father. So when he got born again, when Jesus went to the cross, was raised from the dead for us, we get born again. Now we become creatures of love again, because we're born again of love. So again, we are creatures of love. So when we know God is love, then we can know his ways. If we do not know that God is love, the person, then we will not understand his ways. We will not be able to know them. We can be born again and not know his ways, because we don't know that he is the creature love.
He's not a creature. He's a creator.
He's the creator. He is the being. I'll put it that way. He is the being love. Creature means it was created.
Yeah.
So that's not a correct statement, but saying he is the being love is correct. So since he is the being love, if I don't know that, I can never understand his ways. To know his ways is to love him. If we know his ways and are aware of his ways, and we start realizing through revelation what those ways are and how what he does and how much love he's pouring out continuously, then we will love him because he first loved us. We're going to look at Matthew 22. All of God's ways are love. That needs to ring in our spirit, man, continuously. All of his ways. There's not one characteristic of God that is not love, that's not founded and rooted and flows from love. Everything he is love. I keep pushing on that because the more I push on it, the more I see. And I want to see the depths of that. I want to get more revelation on that. In Matthew 22:35, Jesus is speaking here. And it says, "And one of their number, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him." They were always trying to test him, trying to get him on his words, trying to get him to make a mistake. And this, in verse 36, he said, "Teacher, what kind of commandment is great and important? The principal kind in the law. Some commandments are light, which are heavy?" And he replied to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, your intellect. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself." Then Jesus puts the cap on it. He says, "These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets." Some version says, "Upon them hang all the law and the prophets." A hang means like you got a clothes rod here and you got a hanger and your clothes are hanging on it. Well, what happens if that hanger drops? Well, love drops. I taught a message one thing, all of God's ways hang on the rod of love. And everything that God does hangs on that rod of love, like a clothes hanger hanging on a rod. So here he says, these two commandments sum up. If I'm summing something up, it means that I am telling you everything about that. Everything is the sum total of this. The sum up upon these two commandments. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all of the law and the prophets. So, pre-cross, all of that blood, all of those covenants, what was there, 600 and something?
Of the law, yeah.
623
different commandments and laws that they had to live up to. Nobody could do that. That's why he had to keep the blood of bulls and goats coming, you know. But here it says that love sums them all up. If you walk in love, you've completed all those commandments. And what does that mean? We'll see it in another couple places here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And we're going to look at Romans 13 because they're both saying basically the same thing. But it will maybe bring some more revelation for us here. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled." Now, how much of the law?
All.
All the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And now let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse 8. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. What's he saying? All of those 613 commandments, some of them are man-made, but those that God put in there, every one of them have one purpose, and that's to love.
Amen.
It's to put the person in the place of love. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to murder them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery. All of them point to love. And that's what it's saying here when it says to love your neighbor as yourself fulfills all of the law. There's not one thing that God, one law, one commandment that God made that its purpose was not to point to love, to bring the person to love. When I can realize that God is love, then I can understand that. So many people look at the Ten Commandments and all of the other commandments as something I've got to white-knuckle myself through. I've got to force myself to do this. If that's what you think, you've missed the whole thing. Because that's not its purpose. Its purpose is to draw you to covenant love. That's what its purpose is. When Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, to love one another, just as I have loved you. Now he qualified that. Just as I have loved you. In the same way, I'm laying my life completely down for you. While I'm walking in this body, I'm laying my life down for you. On the cross, I'm laying my life down for you. In hell, I'm laying my life down for you. When I'm raised from the dead, I've already laid my life down for you, but I will continue to intercede for you before the Father. Everything that God has done, will do, or ever will do is love related. There's nothing that he does not do that's not love related. So when you're talking about the ways of the Lord, walking in his ways, that's not only the number one, but that is walking in the ways of the Lord. When you walk the love walk, you are walking in the ways of the Lord. The other things just fall into place. Every one of them, we have, like I said, we have 19 that we'll be looking at one at a time. But as we look at those, we need to remember, love is the foundation. Love is the source. Love is the root. Love is the power flow. It all flows from love. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will be a person guided by the Holy Spirit. If you are walking the love walk, you will be guided by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's automatic. In whatever area that you are choosing to walk the love walk, the Holy Spirit is right there teaching you. He's right there guiding you through that. That is the one thing I need to be continuously aware of. I'm not alone walking in the love walk. Whenever I'm walking the love walk, God is right there with me. He's right there empowering me to do so. He's giving me everything I need to complete that. When I look at to love this one person or do this particular thing in love, it's more than I can possibly do. You can do it because you're not doing it in your own strength. You're walking in the ways of the Lord. You're walking in His commandments. He is empowering you to do that. So no matter what it is you're facing, where you have to go beyond your ability, He's right there with you, guiding you, encouraging you, teaching you, strengthening you, doing whatever He has to do to see to it that you walk through this. First of all, you got to remember, too, it's His idea. I like to say that because that encourages me. I don't want to do that, Lord, but it's your idea. So it must be a good one. If it's God's idea, then He's going to give me everything I need to complete whatever that action is. So while we think in our own self, we can't do that. What are we using for evidence? We're using our carnal nature. We're using our emotions and our own ability. We're looking at that and saying, I can't do that. Well, you can't do it. God never expected you to do it. He just told you to do it. And if He told you to do it, He gave you the ability, the power, and the authority to carry it out. But you're not doing it carnally minded. You're doing it spiritually minded. And see, where you fail at, you're facing one of those things, where we fail at, we try to see it from a mental angle, from our own abilities, from our own knowledge of what I'm capable of and where I failed in the past. We use that as a criteria for what we can do or cannot do. And that is not anywhere as close to what we're capable of. Because the greater one is living in us. And if He told me to do it, I am able to do it, no matter what it is. I may not know how, but He teaches me how. See, that's part of His job. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. So wherever I'm walking the love walk, I'm being guided by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. So when I realize that all of God's ways are love, and I'm walking in His path, then I know that love is the answer. I know that love is the strength. I know that love is the very thing that I must guard my heart with in order to accomplish it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. But I say, walk, and this is the Amplified Classic. But I say, walk and live habitually. So this is supposed to be something I do all the time. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then, when you do that, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature, without God. So, walking in the Spirit puts me in a place of being spiritually minded. It overrides my carnal nature. But I'm the one that allows it to function. The ability is always there because the Holy Spirit lives in us. But I may not be authorizing Him to do what He's supposed to do. And if I don't authorize Him, He's not going to do it. So I'm involved in whether or not the Holy Spirit is able to do what He's supposed to be doing. I authorize Him. That's why it says to walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. How do I know if I'm being guided by the Spirit? Well, there are several ways to know. One of them is it other-centered or is it self-centered? If it's love, it's always other-centered. Another way is, does it line up with the Word? Does what I'm doing line up with the Word? Is what I'm being told line up with the Word? Is it part of the love walk? And what I'm being told to do, does it line up with the love walk? 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, especially Amplified. How does it line up with that? Is it my carnal nature or my spiritual nature? There are questions that we can ask to find out if I'm actually being guided by the Spirit, or if I'm being led down a primrose path to destruction by somebody else that I think is a good idea. Most of the time we can tell whether it's our brain functioning. Am I rationalizing this? What's my evidence? Well, he told me, and I trust that guy. That doesn't mean anything. Whether you trust the guy or not, maybe he's the most honorable guy in the world, but he can lead you in the wrong way. You have to go beyond what your mind is thinking. You can't limit it to what you think. You have to spend time to go to the Lord and say, Father, teach me here. Am I right? And if you don't have peace inside, if you don't have a rest inside, every time you start to do it, it's almost like a caution light. Don't do that. Well, like what your pulpit that you're talking about, Nate, it just didn't feel right to go get that wood. Now you know why. If you ever feel that it's a good idea, I know I can do it, I know it's going to work, I know it's going to work, I know I should do this, don't run out there that way. Always wait and listen, especially if it's got some possible repercussions that could happen that would hurt someone else or possibly put you in a place where you don't want to be and it'll take you a long time to get out of or maybe not get out of. If you're much better, on, especially on a big project, if you're being rushed into it, you better wait and let it go by. Anytime you're being rushed into something, to a decision, don't do it. You're much better off if you tell them, can I wait a while with this? I'd like to pray about it. No, it's got to be done right now. You're headed for a failure. I got personal situations that I went through where had I went that way, it would have sunk my boat big time and I would have not been here. And it was interesting, wasn't it? I don't have time to go through that. But it was very interesting the way God worked that out. But we both decided, we said, if this is not you, Lord, we don't want it. Shut the door. And the fellow was supposed to call me the next morning, and he did. And tell me where to report to go to work. Where to report. And first thing he said is, have you found another job yet? Wham! Door shut. That's the way we prayed. And because we prayed that way, and we didn't jump in on it, we wound up where we are today. Uh-huh. God had other plans, but I would have never connected had we made that other decision. We all have made mistakes. We all know what kind of mistakes we've made over the years. We've done things we shouldn't have done, that we should have. Had we thought about it a little while longer, we wouldn't have went that way. All of us can line up with that. But there's a better way. And if we're walking in the ways of the Lord, we will be more apt or should be habitually waiting on the Lord, listening to Him. If it's something that you have to do now, don't. Almost always it's a wrong thing to do. At least you don't have all the information yet. And you better have a little more. And if they're that anxious to get you there, there's something out of order. You know, so wait on it and find out. But I say to you, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. Verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that they are not free, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. Yes, Mother?
I just want to make a comment on what you said right before this. If someone's putting pressure on you about something, that means someone's putting pressure on them.
You almost always.
Yeah, and they're wanting you to do something to make it easier on them.
Yeah, almost always.
There's pressure coming down.
You don't have the whole story.
Yeah.
And you better not rush into it. But what it's saying here in verse 17 is the ways, the carnal nature that God talks about in Romans 8, the carnal nature is opposed to the spiritual nature. The spiritual law is a higher law. But if you're not functioning in this higher law, if you're not choosing it, then the other one automatically works. You don't have to do anything for the carnal nature to work. It works. It's going to work. The only way it's not going to work is if you choose to be spiritually minded. If you choose that, then the other law has to bow its knee. Because the spiritual law is a higher law. It's God's law. And that's what he's saying here. Walk habitually in the Spirit. Keep your mind in subservience or submissive to the ways of the Spirit. Control your mind with the ways of the Lord. If you don't know what the ways of the Lord are, you can't do it. If you don't know where to go find out, it's the Word will tell you what His ways are. And if I know the one thing, His ways always love, then I'm way out there on understanding what the vision is here. Yeah. Okay, so verse 18. But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. See, that's what I'm saying. If you're guided by the Holy Spirit, that means you're spiritually minded. Otherwise, you wouldn't be guided by Him. He can't guide you any other way. You have to be spiritually minded for Him to guide you. So if you're being guided by the Spirit, then the law is overridden. It cannot overcome the ways of the Spirit. It cannot do that. This person, being guided by the Holy Spirit, will be a person who habitually exercises and develops the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that he's working on. He's conscious of it. And not only the fruit of the Spirit, but he's developing the ways of the Lord. They have to be worked on. They have to be developed. All of the fruit of the Spirit flows from and are founded in love. Not one of them is founded in anything else. They're all spiritual. 9 of the 19 ways of the Lord that we will be studying are found in the fruit of the Spirit. We will be looking at each one of them individually. We're going to look at all 19 of them one at a time. We actually started, when we started talking about love here, we started talking about the first one. So next week, if things go well here and I get as far as I want to, we will start on the second one. But there are 19 of them, and all of them flow from love. But specifically, the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians 5:22, which we're going to look at now, all of the fruit of the Spirit are love-related. All of them are present within us already. They're in us because we're born again. So 9 of the 19 ways is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23. There's 9 of them there. When I do the 19, the fruit of the Spirit will fall in line, but later on in the list that we're going to. But for tonight, I wanted to point these out. So we won't spend time on each individual one here. We're just going to mention what they are and then go on. Because we're going to be looking at each one of them individually later on, starting next week. Galatians 5:22, and this is the King James, then we'll look at the Amplified. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There is no law that can be brought against them. Nothing can stop them from working because they're spiritual laws. They're spiritual fruit. Now let's look at the Amplified. I like the Amplified better, as always. But I like the way it begins here. Explains it much better. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Amplified Classic. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. I'll read that again. Think about what it's saying. Now remember, you're born again. The Holy Spirit's present within all of us that are born again. Listen to the way the Amplified says it. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. That says volumes right there in that statement, the way the Amplified puts it. But the fruit of this Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love. Joy. So it's saying, the work of the Holy Spirit in me is bringing forth love. The Word says that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, when the Holy Spirit came in, love came in. Mm-hmm. That's what made me a love creature. I'm born again. I'm born of love. So I'm a love creature. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love. Joy or gladness. Peace, patience, or an even temper, forbearance. Kindness, goodness, or benevolence. Faithfulness, gentleness, or meekness and humility. Self-control or self-restraint, countenance. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. If I'm walking in these, there's nothing the devil can do about it. He cannot prevent them because they're all love-based. He cannot prevent them because they're the fruit of the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're the Holy Spirit's fruit. And all of them are based in love. The fruit of the Spirit is already present in everyone that is born again, because the Holy Spirit is present in everyone who is born again. So, those nine fruit, there's something that I cannot pray for and get. I cannot pray for peace and get it. I cannot pray for joy and get it. I cannot pray for patience and get it, because it's already here. Now, what I can do is I can say, Father, teach me how to develop patience in my life. I need to know how to walk in patience in this situation. You're not asking Him to give you patience. You're asking Him to teach you how to walk in patience in this circumstance, because it's already here. So anything in this list, if you ask God for it, He cannot give it to you because He already has. He can't give you something that you already have. The problem is, we don't develop it. There's not one single born-again person that does not have these nine fruits. Everyone has them. So if you're a person that is very impatient and say, God, I gotta have patience here, please give it to me, He's got to say, I can't give that to you. I already have. What you got to do, Mike, you got to learn to develop it. Now, here's how you do it. Guess how you develop patience? You make patient decisions. You make decisions and you allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. That's His job. But you ask Him, you ask the Holy Spirit, strengthen me here, Holy Spirit. He's in you. He hears you. You don't have to go anywhere for the Holy Spirit to hear you. He's in you. Lord, I need patience with this guy, and I thank You that it's already here. Please teach me. Teach me what I need to do to be patient with this man. How to overcome my carnal nature here. What can I do to love this person right where he is? Because the patience is going to be based on your love. So you're going to have to choose to love the person for your patience to work where he's concerned. This is vital. This is vital for us. And we're going to look at each one of these. remembering that they're already there. You know, the devil has really, really done a work on the church. He's really done a work on the church because a lot of the church don't know they're already there. He's successfully prevented the church from realizing what they already have. They already have it. But if you don't know you have it, you can't walk in it. You can't work with it. You can't develop it if you don't know it's there. And if you don't get into the Word and really listen to what it's saying, you're still not going to know it's there. You're going to get right back to that old doom and gloom, crying in the beer song.
And wishing God would do something.
Wishing God would do something when He already has. That's what that cross purchased. He saw to it that we have everything we need. We lack nothing. The fruit of the Spirit is already present in everyone that is born again, because the Holy Spirit is present in everyone who is born again. We have so much that we don't even know we have. And it's so sad that the church is not teaching these things. They will teach warfare and expect warfare to work when this is what works the warfare.
Yeah.
If I don't know these things are there already, how can I go out and fight? If I don't know who I am in Christ, how in the world can I successfully go out there? I can't. I'm not going to succeed. And I was over there a while ago, before you guys got here, meditating. And the Lord showed me something. I already knew this, but He's pointed specifics to me. All a genuine Bible teaching is prophetic. All of it is. If it's real Bible teaching, it's prophetic. And the reason it is because God always prepares His people. He knows what's going to happen. And He always prepares His people by teaching them what they need to know. You can see that all the way through Scripture. He always prepares His people. He always teaches them before they need it. Well, He pointed out to me the last four series, counting this one, that we've done has been prophetic. He's teaching us what we need to walk in the darkness ahead and in the darkness right now. The first series was on an in-depth study on love. There's 49 of those. The second series was an in-depth study in the Word. The third one was here. It was the Bible. What is the Bible? And this one, walking in the ways of the Lord. Those four series are extremely vital for what lies ahead in our lives. Those four areas are what a Christian needs to be able to walk in the darkness that's ahead. I'm not saying anything about me, but see, the thing is, God doesn't need a lot of people. Numbers don't mean anything to Him. There's a lot of prophetic utterances that were spoken with nobody around but the person. God needs a voice. It has to be uttered and spoken into the atmosphere. And He'll choose little places like this to voice it. And you'll take it in your life. You'll share what you are walking in. I'll do it in my life. This word will go out through CDs to other people that are getting it. They'll share some of those CDs. It'll go to our internet page and the Facebook. People will get that. They will share it. Then they'll go, who knows who's getting that? I know there are two pastors in India that get this. And I know for sure that they get it. What are they teaching their congregations? They have grass hut churches. Does it matter what kind of church they have? No. they're getting it. Not because I'm doing it, but because the Lord is taking it and voicing it here with us. He's revealing his heart to us because we want to know. Because we're taking the time. It's a sacrifice to come on Friday after a long work day. I know it is. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Because you've heard of people that get prayed for other people. You're sitting in for who knows how many thousands right now, sitting in for that. And there have been a lot of testimonies over the years of a preacher will be preaching in his pulpit and he's actually standing over here spiritually in some foreign country teaching and he doesn't know it. He doesn't know he's there. We could be doing the same thing. We don't know. Just to say, oh, come on, Michael. Well, if God can take Philip, and translate him, he's done with the eunuch, and suddenly he's gone, and he's standing over here in another city. That's in the Bible. If he can do that, he can do this too. And there's been a lot of different testimonies of people. One guy was in a place, he saw himself in another city, in I believe Japan, and he was teaching a group of people in tongues, teaching them. And he saw that. Now, whether that happened or not, I don't know. But I do know it's happened where it's been proven that it was that way. That this person was over here and he was actually over there spiritually at the same time. There's a lot of things that we don't understand that God does. We could be right now, we could have 1,000 people here and not know it. You know, so I when I'm teaching, I never teach who's in front of me with great joy. But I don't limit it to that. And just think about it. Think about it sometime. You know, all teaching is prophetic and God's preparing his people. I could be speaking this right now and some pastor somewhere laying in his bed, sleeping and dreaming it and getting his Sunday message. I don't know. Oh, Mike, you're way out there. Well, I want to stay there if I am. You know, because I just got a lot of faith in God. It brings me joy to know that we're not limited by what we do in our own lives. We're not limited to that. We're unlimited in the Spirit. There's angels here that's grabbing that word and hearkening to it and taking it out there to somebody else. All God needs is a voice. He just needs a voice. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit within every born-again person, we already have the ability to walk in the ways of the Lord present within us, but they must be developed. I'm going to a section of Scripture which Mother loves.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. 2 Peter 1, 3. Now, if you take 2 Peter 1, 3 and Galatians 5, 22, you'll see that they line up. You'll see that Peter is also talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The difference is Paul starts with love and shows that all of the fruit flow from love. Now, Peter is not talking about flowing from love. He's talking about how to build them. So his is backwards. He starts the building process towards love, ending with love. Paul starts with love, showing how they flow together. Peter builds towards love. But they're both talking basically about the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. For his divine power has, past tense, has bestowed upon us all things I'll say that again. All things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through. Okay, so this is how he did it. Through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, virtue. So we've been called to glory. This is God's idea. He's calling us. Now, if we're called, it doesn't mean we're answering. There are many called, but few chosen. Why? Because they didn't answer. We're being called to excellence. And that's what he's going to be talking about. Who called us and by and to his own glory and excellence. To whose glory and excellence? His own. Mm-hmm. He's calling us to that. By means of these. By means of what? Of means of the things that he's bestowed upon us. And he's going to say the precious promises here in a minute. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them... Now, where do we find the promises at? In the Word, right? So that through them, the promises, you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature? Love. That's who God is. That's his nature. So here, through these promises, we can partake of the divine nature of God. This is a love manual. That's what this Bible is. As we look at those promises, as we receive them and act on them, we partake of the divine nature of God. Verse 5, for this very reason, adding your diligence, what a word. You know what that means? It means I'm going to have to keep doing this.
Attention is habitual.
Commitment. For this reason, adding your diligence to the divine promise. So see, we can have the promise and never exercise it. We can have the divine promise in the Word. We can see it, know it, even believe it, but not be diligent with it and then not produce anything. Mm-hmm. Our diligence is what is applied to the promise that brings forth the fruit. For this very reason, adding your diligence, not someone else's, your diligence to the divine promise, employ every effort in exercising. There's another bad word. In exercising. You know what I think? Exercising, lifting weights, running, walking. But I'm supposed to employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. That's what virtue means. And in exercising virtue, see, once I start exercising virtue or excellence, once I start exercising that, it develops knowledge. Develop knowledge, intelligence. So, if I'm going to start walking an excellent walk with God, walking the love walk, walking in the ways of the Lord on purpose, diligently doing that, doing it by faith, I'm going to develop virtue or excellence, and that is going to develop knowledge, or it's going to help my intelligence. I'm going to understand things better. I want to know God better, know His Word better, because I'm developing something, I'm doing something with it. And in exercising knowledge, see, knowledge has to be exercised, don't it, Kathy?
Yes, sir.
You can teach those students that you have forever and them not do anything with what you're teaching them, and it's absolutely worthless.
And I may not.
No. they have to exercise what you're teaching them. And it's the same way with us. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. So my self-control is directly related to knowledge and to faith and to excellence. They're all related and they're drawing on one another. They're like Mother uses building blocks, bricks and things to show this in her teaching. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. Okay, now a while ago you were praying for patience. He just told you how to get it. All of these things build towards patience. Self-control. You're controlling yourself. You're making decisions. You're choosing to be patient instead of flying off the handle. But now you're developing something else when you do that. Develop in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness or piety. You know, you're walking in patience develops godliness in your life. These things will develop your walking in the ways of the Lord. It'll develop your knowledge of God. It'll develop your ability to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you're developing here. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. So you're going to be relating to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're going to be relating to them in a better way. You're going to be patient with them. You're going to have knowledge that they don't have. You're going to be able to love them, love the unlovable. You're going to develop godliness when you do that, which develops brotherly kind, brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. So see, it builds. Peter is building towards love. He's shown us how to develop the fruit. How those fruit are developed, what we need to do to develop them. Paul is telling us what they are and that we should walk in them. He's telling us how they flow together, but Peter's telling us how to build them. So you put the two together. Now, verse 8, 4. So now here's why we're doing this. We're doing it for a reason. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, so they should be increasing in us, they, what we've been doing here, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful. Notice, they make you fruitful, and without them you become unfruitful. Or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Isn't that awesome? We'll never stumble or fall if we develop those fruit.
The thing that gets me about that is if we don't, it says here, he's forgotten that he was forgiven of his
exactly.
sins.
We digress.
All his old sins will come back. About it, he yep. won't know how to stand up and fight that, and he'll be. We know people in this position.
Yeah, they you were.
You can't talk to them 5 minutes, and they go back over all the bad things yep. that they did and all the wrong things.
But at one time, they were walking in this. At one time, they were, but they stopped.
they didn't no longer had diligence about
it. They didn't maintain. No. So we're talking about how to walk the ways of the Lord. There's one more section here and I'll stop. I got a little bit of a late start. I'm not going to read the scriptures. I'm just going to point out what how they build. I'd like to take the time to, but it's already late. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 is the love walk. And I've taught about this not recently, but it was back in message number 8, and this is message 12. We talked about this in detail, this particular scripture. This is the love walk. It's a checklist that you use to see if you're walking the love walk. Now, I'm going to change this a little bit, and I'm going to take each point. Well, you'll understand what I'm doing. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will endure long. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will be patient and kind. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not be envious or boil over with jealousy. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not be boastful or vainglorious. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not display themselves haughtily. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not be conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not be rude, unmannerly, and will not act unbecomingly. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not insist on their own rights or their own way, for they are not self-seeking. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not be touchy or fretful or resentful. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not take account of the evil done to them. They pay no attention to a suffered wrong. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but they will rejoice when right and truth prevail. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will bear up under anything and everything that comes. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will be ever ready to believe the best of every person. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, their hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will endure everything without weakening. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, their love will never fail, never fade out, or becomes obsolete, or come to an end. That's what a person walking in the ways of the Lord looks like. Those are the areas that they need to be cautious to watch their life with, to guard their hearts. As we go through the fruit of the Spirit, and the way Peter shows to build the fruit, then we cap this on top of that. We can show whether or not we're walking in the ways of the Lord and where we need to correct ourselves, where we need to strengthen ourselves. And as we're walking in the ways of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is guiding us, as we said. He will teach us these things if we want to do that, if we ask Him to. He will show me where I'm walking in pride. He'll show me when I'm taking account of a wrong that I shouldn't. I may think nothing of it. You know, I may take an offense, somebody else's offense. I may take account of that, but I'm wrong. But if I'm walking in the ways of the Lord, the Holy Spirit can gently and kindly quicken me to these things. But see, I need to know what this person looks like, don't I? If I know what he looks like, what this person is supposed to be looking like and doing, then I'm more able to correct myself. I may not want to, it may not be comfortable, but what's the result? The result far outweighs the problem or what I'm trying to do or be carnally minded. Man, I'm talking eternity here. I'm talking being able to be strong in the ways of the Lord. being able, when I speak to something, it obeys. Putting myself in a position where when I lay hands on somebody, they get well. You know, because I trust the word. And I know that my family's protected because I'm walking in the ways of the Lord. The promises are just phenomenal for this person that will do it. How do you do all of that? One step at a time. One decision at a time. Today, you may catch yourself being boastful. Well, repent of that. Fix it. Tomorrow, you may display yourself haughtily and be boastful. So you correct that. You may not have the problem with the other things because they didn't come up. But you may act unbecomingly the next day or later on the same day. Well, that's when you correct, but you're not going to do all of them at one time. The point is, if you do them in your now moment, one at a time, and are aware of them and correct yourself, even if you wait a little while to do it, you correct yourself, you are gaining phenomenal ground.
Amen.
And see, Satan is losing his whole... He can't use these things against you because you already know you shouldn't be doing them, and as soon as you do, you correct yourself. So he has no foothold. So the things that he's been using against you, he can no longer use against you.
Thank you, Lord.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you got to be diligent.
Got to be diligent. Okay. Amen. Well, we're going to
take... Change is going to happen. We're
going to take all 19 and go with them one at a time. Some nights we'll have two, some nights just one. Sometimes we'll have two in a row on the same one. But it depends on what it is. So... Is there any comments or anything that you want to say?
Well, you know, when you talk about walking in love and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, we start to think, you know, if I keep pouring out, I'm going to run out.
No, you won't.
But what we have to remember is we also pour in when we read
Amen.
The Bible and study
exactly.
and pray and everything. We have to take that time to build our own selves up.
And what are you doing when you walk these ways? You're laying your life down. You are giving of yourself. And what happens when you give? You receive. 30, 60, 100 fold. You're sowing seed everywhere you go. So you cannot run out. Now the enemy wants you to think you can. But you cannot run out.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for teaching us these things. We're not here on milk. We're here on meat. And we thank you, Father, for this meat of the Word. We thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us. And, Father, it's wonderful. It's awesome. And we thank you for that you'll continue to teach us, Lord. Thank you for bringing back to remembrance these things as we need them and as we walk through them. And thank you for showing us how we can share them with others in our daily life. Lord, thank you for raising up laborers into the harvest field. And I don't mean just salvation-wise. We need that. But also in the church. Laborers in the church to teach the church who they are and what we're supposed to be like. Who we really are. And we thank you for teaching us who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen.